Unified Review Theory.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of the Unified Review Theory podcast.
Incredibly special this time, yeah. See how special it is?
Yes, because it's not just me and Neil discussing stuff now. We're going to have a bit more of a feminine touch to things.
Oh, I don't know.
I've got cushions.
We all got enough cushions.
Yes.
I like to think I bring a feminine touch to things, usually.
We like to think you do, too.
Feminine touch, that's Neil's nickname at university.
Hey.
Anyway.
Paid my way through college.
The reason why we're all here is because we're doing a special... it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Very exciting. You might even hear some fireworks later on.
Or at the very least, hear us getting drunk.
Yes, which, you know, what better form of entertainment is there?
We're actually a bit late for that.
Yes, that's true.
So, originally we were going to do a review of 2009, and then we thought that was, like, super lame, and actually we did it in the last podcast anyway.
Yeah, 4.5 out of 10, I think.
Something like that.
Wrong.
That's not good, is it?
So we thought we'd do a review of the decade, but then that's kind of super lame as well.
In the week since we said that, every other like media outlet in the universe has done obviously done a review of the decade, and it's boring and it's played out and it's lame.
So
we're going to do that, but we're also going to contrast and compare the decade just passed with a couple of other decades of our acquaintance.
And this is why we are the best form of media ever. Because no one else has thought of doing that.
No.
But we're going to start with the 2000s anyway.
The 2000s or the noughties?
No, never the noughties. Never ever the noughties.
As everyone else says, whether you like it or not, the noughties.
Just because everyone else does something.
I'm not saying I like it, I'm just saying that's what it's called.
You know, if you're in Nazi Germany, you'll be goose-stepping along, won't you?
I don't like my name, but it's what I'm called, so I'm kind of stuck with it. So, you know, get over it.
Call yourself Nilo.
He's not Italian or Spanish.
Yeah, but he's got that Latin flair.
Maybe he just started saying the noughties, haven't they? Because they feel in the panic that
you
also
it's that ridiculous thing where people think it's a bit naughty to say noughties.
But then they called the 90s the naughty 90s.
Yeah, because people are stupid.
Them that?
Who would
people who think the word knickers is funny.
That
cute.
Is funny though.
Should we introduce
James.
You our special guests?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, thank you. So the people we're spending New Year's Eve with are, of course, our wives.
Hooray.
So would you like to introduce yourself, wives?
Wives?
I'm Debbie, I'm one of the wives. I'm James's wife.
And I'm Di, and I'm Neil's wife.
Yes. And you like to Nilo's define yourself like that, don't you?
Yeah.
you generally refer to yourself as Mrs. Neil Cameron, don't you?
Yes. Mrs. N. Cameron, usually. And I usually say, hello, I'm Mr. Cameron's wife.
It's quite a treat for you tonight to be called by your own given first name. Yeah.
Well, I'd almost forgotten what it was.
So it's a little bit weird.
Usually defined by Neil.
You better make sure that she doesn't start getting ideas above her station.
No, I'll do my best.
You give them an inch. Anyway, should we talk about the 2000s?
Let's talk about the noughties.
So what was good about the 2000s?
What are we going to do? We're going to look at sort of defining...
Yeah, we're just kind of what our impressions are. I mean, to be honest, I can't remember what happened last week, let alone for the last 10
years. Is this going to be like in our lives? Personally, or in the world in general?
Well, at the end of it, we're going to have to come up with a definitive score, which is how good the 2000s were.
Right.
Objectively, compared with everything else in the world.
So
we've got to delve pretty deeply.
And we're going to take
about
5 minutes on
this?
About 5 minutes. Yeah, okay.
It's a long time to, encapsulate in a few words, isn't it? A decade.
Well, I can think of something. Neil and I met,
fell in love,
got married, and had a son.
Yes.
Yes, it was a packed old few years, really,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
A packed few years.
But no one wants to hear about that. We want to talk about, you know, terrorists and Doctor Who.
Yeah,
right.
that's the two main things.
That's
terrorists
the decade
and Doctor Who.
There were some terrorists, and that was bad. And then there was Doctor Who, and that was good.
Well, it's kind of
so it balanced out.
Everyone started
5 out of 10.
Very excitedly, didn't they, at the start of the decade? And then pretty quickly, you got towers falling down
Yeah.
And then everything was post 9/11.
Mm.
Whenever you refer to anything.
Sorry. Sorry. I should explain, I'm very heavily pregnant and it's definitely past my bedtime. Sorry.
Also, James is quite dull. Which doesn't help. No, you're right. As you've pointed out in quite an original and striking way, that 9/11 was a defining moment in the last 10 years. And a lot of what happened after it was defined in a kind of post 9/11 sense. That's interesting. Would you like to expand on that, James?
James, where were you when 9/11 happened?
I was at work.
So was I.
Then I came back and then I watched some Seinfeld.
Mm.
And then I turned on the TV and I thought, oh.
You turned on the TV and thought, oh.
Yeah, sure. Is that your reaction?
So you
I was quite
know.
Camp back
you there. Didn't know until Seinfeld had finished?
No. Well, I read something on Lycos News, just to date it, about a plane that hit the, one of the Twin Towers, but I thought it was like a light aircraft or something, and
yeah.
I couldn't get through to the link.
I watched
so.
It live at work. I was at that mental health place at the time. I remember it quite distinctly.
I remember where I was working, but nobody could log on to the BBC website because it crashed because there were so many people trying to log on to it. So I didn't really have any grasp of how enormous it was until I got home.
I was having my hair cut in a barber's shop in Glasgow, and there was a kid, I think, in the next chair who kept asking the barber why they'd blown up America. And
Scottish people.
I was just really confused and... just didn't really understand what I was talking about. I thought we'd seen some film or something. And then, yeah, I got home and it was like, man.
Yeah, blowing up America.
And we watched the news for a bit. And then we watched Pride and Prejudice because we just couldn't take it anymore. So we put Pride and Prejudice
out. I think that's much the best thing to do, actually, because
yeah.
you can't just watch and watch and watch and watch and watch. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference how many times you
I
watch
think
it.
There's,
after,
there's pretty much no news as well.
After that day,
there
I think I did
anything.
Do nothing but watch rolling news for about two
yeah.
solid weeks and just read every newspaper that came out.
Yeah.
Just obsessively sort of try and find out more information about stuff that was millions of miles away and I don't know, just needed to know, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it was a strange time. This hasn't taken a very comedy turn, has it?
No. What else happened then? There was the Buffy musical episode.
So 9/11 and then the Buffy musical episode. That was a defining moment of the decade, if not the century.
I think so.
May I just say.
I think so far this century that has been the best musical episode of a TV series.
Of a TV series about vampires, certainly.
And when
Scrubs
did that
tried
come,
it,
where did that? Because I've only just started watching Buffy from the very beginning. Where does the musical episode come in the series?
You've got a way to go.
Well, it's quite a long way.
Is it
way
midway
in.
Or is it towards the end?
Towards the end.
Yeah, they run out of ideas.
Well, not exactly, but yeah, it was kind of, it's a shining moment amongst, you know.
It was. It came in between the whole. Very, very poor analogy of Willow was hooked on magic, which
right.
was kind of like drugs, but it wasn't because it was magic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not a great series, but that was just
something that you could sing along to. James bought me the CD of the Buffy musical episode as my Christmas present when we were backpacking around Australia together.
Yeah, what did you get me?
I have no idea.
You got
me
nothing.
You?
That's it, because we did that whole, okay, we were a bit skinned, so let's not buy each other anything.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
why
gonna,
did you buy him something then?
I just thought, I'd get him something, you know.
Well, that's not nothing, is it?
Did you even get him some fizzy juice?
Oh, don't sell the fizzy juice. That was nothing, we went to Australia, that's pretty cool.
We went to Australia, I'm not sure that's a defining moment of the 2000s for the world in general, you and me bumming around a bunch of really over-clean hostels. We had to go the safe route. We had to stay in all the YHA approved hostels and do the very clean and safe above board route. And it was really boring.
There was that one we stayed in which wasn't, and then there was just a screaming child next to us for the entire time.
Yeah, that was kind of nice.
But you know, now as the owners have been skirting around, not very well, Doctor Who.
We haven't been skirting around it at all. We've
been
heading towards
talking about
it
quite a lot
pace.
Already.
Well, all I can say is that when I look, you know, when we thought, well, let's talk about the decade. Literally, like the first thing that popped into my head. I know I'm a sad man who, you know, is has
wearing a tank top.
Is wearing a tank top right now. Oh my god!
Which he bought from the Edinburgh Woolen
Mill. Look, I made a decision that I want to dress like an old man from now on. Not in an ironic
look
at me. I'm dressed like an old man way.
I think
I've got a kid now. I'm an old man. I'm going
to
stop
keep warm
worrying
well.
About
yes.
fashion.
But, you know, it's got dual purpose. It looks quite nice, probably keeps you warm. And we can mock you about it, so, you know.
So everyone's happy. Really.
Everyone's happy.
Yes, but anyway, my point was, before we decided to start mocking that jumper, was that that was the first thing that popped into my mind. This decade, that was a big part of that, I think, you know.
When did it start?
It started about halfway through the decade, I think. Because I can date, not that we want to talk about this on the podcast necessarily, but I can date when I got ill from Doctor Who coming back, exactly.
Yes, because we went to the Dancing Dragon.
We went to the Dancing Dragon, and that was where my troubles began.
So I guess it's kind of, it's a karma thing. You know, you get Doctor Who in your life, but you also...
Yeah, I suppose so. I guess it's worth it, on the whole.
Some episodes more than others, I think.
Yeah, that's true. No, I think it's been great. It seemed like such an impossible thing before it happened that they could bring back Doctor Who in it and be not shit.
I know, I remember there was this time when I was on the train and there were like these teenage girls who were sitting behind me and they were talking about Doctor Who. And it's like, you know, you go back to the 90s and like the thought of that ever happening, it's...
That's very sad, isn't it? And those were the girls who wanted to be Martha Jones.
Yes, they were quite excited because Martha Jones was going to be in Torchwood.
And why would they want to be Martha Jones
exactly.
and not Rose?
Exactly.
I mean
I've no
idiot.
Time for Martha Jones.
Because she was cool.
She was not cool.
She was more attractive than the other sisters.
Oh, she was way more attractive, yeah.
She was not
but
more
she,
attractive
she was...
than Rose Tyler.
Yeah, she was.
She totally was not.
Yeah,
was.
And
she
was.
Was
more classic.
She was
Who
just
would know?
Not a very good actress.
No.
Unfortunately.
No.
And what was weird was she started off mediocre and got worse, like a lot worse as she went on. Like, she came back in the next series, and you're like, how did this person get through?
I still don't understand how she got this major role in TV. I think she was okay, but as you know, a background character, which initially she was.
She was entirely, she was all right as someone who got turned into Cybermen
yes,
halfway through
exactly.
the episode. She could do that. That
Look,
was bad.
Let's
level.
Not
she could
all
play
slag
a,
off Martha Jones.
She could play
like
a Cyberman.
But no,
okay.
she wasn't entirely that
Which
in
does indicate a lack of range somewhat, doesn't it?
But the other two, Billy Piper and Catherine Tate, you really should have been awful.
No, I had
they
bad feelings about both of them,
both fantastic.
Yeah, it's
I
almost as if
like they
knew
fantastic.
What they were doing. And
so
think
maybe
Billy
we should
Piper
stop being so worried
actress.
About Matt Smith then.
Who's worried?
I'm very worried that
Why?
I'm going to have to stop watching Doctor
oh.
Who because Doctor Who should not be younger than me.
You are aware that you're going to keep
That's very
getting
personal
older.
View, Debbie.
So at
some
point, where it's
point
like William Hartnell or nothing.
Is it like policemen as well when they start looking young?
Yes.
We've
yes,
got police box.
It's
yeah.
not just about the age. I just why didn't they use Patterson Joseph? That's it. I haven't forgiven them for that.
I guess they felt he wasn't the actor best suited for role, given that they've actually
but
seen the
wrong.
Guy audition.
You can't prejudge
you
them.
Haven't.
You haven't even seen
I
how
can.
They play.
I can.
You're the queen of prejudice, it's
yes,
true.
Okay, well, you know, we'll see how it goes. That'll be next decade's worry, what new Doctor Who's like. This
Very true.
I think it'll be good.
But new Doctor Who, I think, was pretty much an unqualified success. Well, a slightly qualified success. Because as I say, there was some rubbish
It's about episodes, half... But. When you look back on it, about half the episodes are good and half the episodes aren't good.
Oh, I think more than half.
I think it's
good.
Better than half it rate.
I think at
Absolutely.
Least two-thirds are good.
There's very rarely an absolute stinker. I think the one with the little kid who drew stuff, that was about the worst thing I've ever seen.
Scratchy one. The one with Peter Kay was...
Oh,
that
God.
Was pretty bad.
Anyone
the
with a Sycorax in
Christopher Eccleston, I thought, was wonderful, and I thought that there weren't many of his that I remember thinking I wasn't very good.
Okay.
I thought he was a bit boring.
I really liked him because he was edgy.
I think when you come away from it, the good ones kind of shine, but you kind of forget about it. Like the one with Simon Pegg, that was just
no,
that
pretty
was
boring.
The
yeah.
one with Michelle, you know, that
Michelle
one
Collins.
Was, oh. That
on the spaceship.
Was the worst one ever. I
that
think.
Was just kind of dull.
I didn't mind
you know?
That one at all.
It was very
yeah.
dull.
No, I didn't mind that one.
But I think actually the series that had the most best episodes was the Martha Jones series.
It had amazing ones. It had a real run of just absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's that Blink, which
yeah.
was the best
Blink,
one
which
ever.
Which is definitely the best episode.
No,
ever.
No,
no,
no.
No.
Girl in the Fireplace is my favourite ever.
No.
No.
No,
actually,
no.
You know what was the best episode?
That
of New
is
Doctor
even
Two?
The worst. Stephen Moffat.
No, what was the best episode of New Doctor Who ever? Was the very second episode, The End of the World, because it just, the whole thing clicked in and it really made you feel, this could work, I could see how this would work as a TV show. Because after the first episode, you weren't quite sure still. You're like, I guess that was enjoyable, but I'm still not quite, you know, convinced. But the second one just really clicked in. Like, she was on the spaceship, there was all these amazing effects, were amazing, it was funny, it was sharp, and they were playing like pop music. It was just really, you know, had a real sense of what kind of a show you were watching, and it really worked for me. I just fell in love with it, and I was like, this is going, I'm on board, I'm signed up.
And
I think that was
an elegant point, but blink, man. Angels, they go,
yeah, scary.
I'm not saying it wasn't good, I'm saying it seems a rather obvious choice.
It is, because it's good.
Okay, so we're agreed that Dog 2 is good.
Yeah, that
yeah.
seems to be the general gist of it.
Did anything else happen in this decade?
No, not really.
I thought of a good one.
Yep.
The growing of the popularity of the ukulele. Well, no, I started it. We all know that. I started that in what, 2001. And after I started, things like the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain started as well. And this lovely little instrument that's been largely ignored since the 20s, 30s, 40s, etc., suddenly came back into fashion.
Fashion?
No, really.
No, really, it is.
Honestly.
There in the Whale. Everyone
plays ukulele.
And now they've brought it out in all these pretty colours, and they weren't available when James bought them.
Ah, the iUke. Yeah.
Mm. Still.
Okay, so I think that about sums it up then.
Well, no, just let's kudos to Debbie for bringing back the ukulele. Because, you know, we're better off for it. And, yeah, I mean, I don't think I've started any major cultural trends this decade. James.
None worth speaking of. They kind of fizzled out of it. We started our religion, but that didn't really go anywhere.
Oh, we're still doing it, you know.
Well,
yeah,
no. We still keep Vigor.
I think you've lapsed.
I am a lapsed Vigorian, it's true.
It's the best kind.
Yeah.
Vigor loves lapses.
He rewards lapses. That could be a whole tenet of the thing.
Anyway, so the decade was 9/11, Doctor Who.
Yay.
Tsunami.
Boo.
Ukulele.
Yay. Oh, geez.
That's
enough.
True.
I'm filled with self-loathing.
I'm filled with loathing for you as well, actually.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So, I'm sorry, no
go. I was just going to say, what sort of marks do we think we should give it?
Well, I don't know. It's been an up and down old 10 years for the world. It's been quite good for me, personally.
It's crappy. People are going to look back on this decade as a crappy decade.
Mm.
So much promise.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, it's going to be quite a bleak. I mean, we had fucking George Bush for most of it.
Mm.
Yeah,
George Bush and Tony Blair, now there's a double header.
Yeah, okay. It was a very troubled time for a lot of the world, I guess. And so I'm going to say... But on the other hand, I got to draw comics.
I'm looking around the four region. I don't know about anyone else.
Four? Wow.
Well, that's pretty low. I'd say 5, 6-ish.
Well, some bad stuff's happened, but yes, I started the ukulele trend. got married, had a son, lost lots of my eyesight. Yeah, okay, I'll say 5. It's not been great, has it?
It's not been great, has it? Let's face it.
Five.
So we seem to be getting towards 5.
Yeah.
Say
so
5 out of 10?
5 out of 10.
A raucous
yeah.
celebration of the decade just passed.
Well, that it just makes us all the more enthusiastic about the new decade.
Oh, this one's going to kick some ass.
Clean, clean slate. So that was a rubbish decade. Now it's time to talk about a fun decade.
Yeah, now this was a good decade, man. What are we going to be talking about next, James?
We're going to be talking about the 1810s.
The 1810s.
And you see, it's the 1810s, not like the tweenies or some crap like that.
The 18s.
Children. No.
Okay.
No, you wouldn't see right. Jane Austen saying, "Ooh, welcome to the new decade of the tweenies," would you?
The 18s is what Jane Austen used. That was her phrase for the decade.
Was it?
Absolutely.
No, it wasn't. You're correct. It was. No, I think it was generally referred to as the 1810s. Yeah.
If they even had decades back then.
Of course they had decades.
They probably didn't have, like, end of the decade review on Newsnight and Jules's Hootenanny.
Punch runs down the best bon mots of the 1810s.
Yes, Napoleon was on Most Annoying People with the 1810s.
Most hated.
So I think it's fair to say we don't know much about this decade.
We know very little.
Who's king?
Who's king? It was George the...
Now George
I thought there wasn't a king. I thought it was the Regency.
I'm pretty sure
you're
right. Regency. Yeah, damn
it. I thought it was just before the Regency, actually, wasn't it?
It was
the
period where the Napoleonic Wars ended.
Mm.
And so, yes, the King George was mad. And then after that, you had no
yes.
king from it.
I'm just basing
right?
this on Blackadder the Third.
I'm piecing it together from Blackadder,
yeah.
Jonathan Strange, and Mr. Norrell, and bits and pieces of Jane Austen.
And we're exposing our ignorance.
No.
Let's show the whole world our ignorance. Look at it. Look at it, Dangle.
Bring it on. I'm not ashamed of my ignorance.
Good.
No, I am deeply. Why are we doing this again?
Something I worked out myself using calculators and not just got it from Wikipedia. It's the only decade, apart from the 1950s, where a president of America has not been either born or died.
I read that same fact on Wikipedia that you managed to work out yourself using calculators, and I'm amazed you felt that interesting enough to bring
don't
up.
You think?
Why is that interesting?
It's not interesting, is it? Wikipedia thought it was interesting.
It's not.
My god. It was
like you had to boil a decade down to like 10 or 11 things that happened, and that was one of them that made Wikipedia's cut.
That was one of the things that didn't happen, though.
A fact that I knew from my own historical researches and not from looking at that same page on Wikipedia was that the 1810s included a period of time known as the Era of Good Feelings, which was known as such because it was the one period in like American political history where there wasn't any kind of bipartisan opposition dominating kind of the political debate. The one party had actually been dissolved after the end of some war, I think, or so everyone was just kind of getting along and working towards a common cause.
Spanish-American War?
Yeah. No, it was World War II.
Oh, and that was when they went back in time and fought the war.
Yes, no, it was a time war. The last great time.
The end of time.
So after the last great time, well, everyone just got along, and it was fine. But I just thought that sounded
was
nice.
That when they used to have, like, orgies in the Senate?
Yeah, the era of good I just thought that sounded nice. I mean, imagine if today, if, like, Tories gave up being Tories and Labour gave up being Labour, and they all just, like, tried to do their fucking jobs instead. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, all right, Morrissey.
I'm just saying, it'd be nice to have a less, sort of, divisive
you know what else?
System. What else?
It was the birth of the Romantic era.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You had your Shelley's and
your Wordsworth.
Shelley's and your Wordsworth.
Oh, God.
Your pretty
I'm sorry, I can't bear Wordsworth.
You're not a romantic.
I'm not a Wordsworthian. There is a pile of difference between Wordsworth and people like Byron. And Blake.
Well, that's good.
And Blake people that had any imagination at all. And went just wandering around in the hills talking about a daffodil. That's how beautiful the grass was.
He didn't just, he was quite political as well.
He was completely dull. Have you read The Prelude? It's the most dull poem.
I listened to
on
Melvin Bragg talking about The Prelude.
Did it sound inspiring?
It sounded good, I wanted to listen to
it. It is terrible.
So that's him wandering around looking at flowers and things.
It's him extolling the virtues of nature and how there is nothing higher than nature and how he feels so in tune with nature and so on and so forth and so on and so forth.
A new hippie.
For a long
time. It does sound like an effing hippie, that's true.
It's really boring to read.
So, Wordsworth out of 10?
2.
2 out of 10. Ooh, cutting.
The only bit of Wordsworth I know is the stupid daffodil poem which I had to recite in Victorian Day at school.
Yeah, that's not going to make us sound middle class.
Isn't
it school at Victorian Day.
And isn't it boring? Why is that famous? It's the dullest thing ever.
He saw daffodils, man. Daffodils, they're like yellow and.
He saw the
so
quiet, noble beauty in a humble bunch of daffodils.
Yes, but that's
can't
all
you see
he
that,
saw.
Can't
that's
you see
all
that?
He ever saw.
No.
Literally.
Well, Di's not a fan of Wordsworth. That's what I'm picking up here.
I'll tell you who's good. Thomas de Quincey and his opium.
And his opium. Actually, I started reading that and got really bored.
Actually, it's really boring. But it's worth it because the last 7 pages just go absolutely mental.
Oh, really?
It's really great. It's like
so just read the last 7 pages.
We're talking here about
Confessions
of
an
Opium Eater by George. I just feel that sometimes we don't make things explicitly clear to our listeners.
We don't patronise
our listeners. We just lapse into the shorthand of having known
each other. We presuppose a certain amount of cultural awareness on behalf of our.
Let's not spoon feed them now.
Okay, I was just felt I was barely hanging on there, and I thought other people might feel the same. So yeah, so what is the book where he's just talking about? It's like you know, druggy.
Yeah, it's like a confession. And it's not even that much about open meeting. It's about how he grew up and how he had terrible.
That's why it's so boring.
Hardship and he ran away and all that. But at the end, he starts talking about the visions he had under the laudanum. And I'll tell you what, I really wanted to get some laudanum after reading
that. That's why you read it.
So the message you took from this 19th century work of confessional drug literature was that you really, really want to go and score some laudanum.
Mm. Well, it's opium and it's booze.
Mm. Oh, man! Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That sounds ace.
Exactly.
Those are two of my favourite things, damn it.
It's a boys' book, I think that's fair to say. I actually did see it through to the bitter end. And,
a boys' book, there are lots of racing cars.
They probably were. You probably imagine them.
There's lots of boobies.
Well, apparently, very few women finish it. And if anyone's listening who is a woman who's finished it, then
I wouldn't worry
be
about
interested
that.
To hear from you. No, well, we wouldn't.
I don't think there are women listening.
Well,
we summed up an entire decade with Doctor Who. There's no women listening to this.
Women who can read.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying it's. I don't.
What's your point, Neil?
I'm going to stop.
Expand on that.
I think you took that the wrong way. But the more I talk about it, the worse it gets.
The empty chasm that looms behind that.
Yes.
Sentence.
Anyway, the big literary event of the 1810s.
Yeah. The 1810s. I was looking at this, and Jane Austen published every single one of her books in that decade, I believe. And that, I think you'll agree, is
wasn't there one
quite...
that was published posthumously?
Oh, was there?
I think a lot of them were.
Was it Northanger Abbey?
Weren't they?
No.
Anyway, some of them were published anonymously, weren't they?
Well, a lot of them came out in that decade anyway, and I think you'll agree that must have been a pretty exciting time to be a reader of literature in this country, because Jane Austen...
You like Jane Austen.
Jane Austen was, you know...
If not, it'd be like, you know, me having to listen to Oasis on the jukebox every time I went to the pub.
Oh, yeah, that would
like,
be really annoying.
Oh, have you read Pride and Prejudice yet? Oh, it's great.
But
just,
there's
I
one that you
it.
Like, isn't there?
I've only read one.
Oh. Neil, what's your favourite Jane Austen?
My favourite Jane Austen?
Hmm.
Gosh, I don't know. I think, the obvious answer is Pride and Prejudice, which is such a complete book. It's just absolutely compelling. But I think, personally, my favourite is Persuasion. I find it very affecting, and the heroine is such a well-drawn character, and it's sort of, the themes are much more sort of melancholy and mature. Anne Elliot.
That's right.
Yes, there are dinosaurs.
There's a really powerful and deeply moving scene on the cob at
Lyme.
The cob at Lyme, yeah, where a plesiosaur leaps out of the sea and carries away poor Louisa Musgrove.
And she was most vexed by the situation.
And everyone ran around.
Was it a Tyrannosaurus vex?
They could hardly keep their countenance.
No, I don't think there are any dinosaurs, but it's an absolutely amazing book. And it's just absolutely hot. It's one of those ones where, because so much of Jane Austen, it's all about the key scenes where someone gets a letter and reads the letter, and the scene at the end of Persuasion where she gets the letter, which is rather implausibly written while sitting next to her in the room. But when you read that, it's just like you've been so tense, you've been right with her every step of the way for this whole book, so tense and wondering what's going on and wondering his intentions and wondering what's going to happen to her and her life. And then you read this letter and you're just like, bowled over. It's so, oh, it's beautiful, beautiful bit of writing.
Yeah.
What's your favourite, Di?
I also like Persuasion. I love Pride and Prejudice, but I think my soft spot goes to Sense and Sensibility. I think it's a very, it's just an engrossing read.
Absolutely.
Some great characters in it, and it's full of the passion and it's full of the archness of Jane Austen, and I think I've got a soft spot for that.
I can see that. That was the first one I read, and that's what done it.
I'm beginning to understand how someone in the 1810s who didn't like
Well, now you know how I feel about Harry fucking Potter.
Yes.
Well, I think you know you're within friends here, apart from this chap here,
traitor who's recently read
Harry Potter. We should have mentioned. No, hang on.
Oh yeah, Harry Potter
start?
Was a big part of the 2000s, I guess.
We don't really need to mention it.
No, I don't want to waste any time.
Have any of you read the Harry Potter books?
No, because we're grown-ups.
Yeah, grown-ups who
when I have
are
to read
obsessed
them to
with
know
Dad's
them,
Army
I will.
Comic books.
Dad's Army's a grown-up.
No, Di is a grown-up, sorry. Catch her out like this. I was as sceptical as all of you, and I made all those same arguments, and then I happened to read a couple, and they're a terrific story, and she's a great writer, and they're, you know, a wonderful series of books for children, which other people can enjoy. I have to take back all my previous snarky sarcasm, because I think she's amazingly...
And that's why I'm not going to read them, because I'd have to take back my snarky sarcasm.
That's true. Oh, it's so worth it, though. It really is worth having to eat a little bit of humble pie.
I'm so bored of the concept, and I haven't even read any of the books. Mm. That's how all-pervasive and dull...
I agree.
I
couldn't understand, before I read them, how someone could have written those books. I was talking to you about this recently. It seemed like such an obvious and played-out idea. Kid... wizard goes to wizard school. But if that idea had occurred to me, I would never have written that story.
I don't think
feel
that's
it's
a problem
been
at all. I don't feel that that is the problem. The problem for me is that I haven't been able to get away from it for 10
See,
years.
See, your problem is that you're all just...
And I haven't even read the books.
You're all just very self-styled individualists, and you don't want to be a part of the thing that everyone else is into
there,
at
there
that
is
time.
Truth.
And you want to
there's
be treading your own path.
There's a
great
deal in
that,
but also, you know, I haven't read many children's books, because there are other things that I would prefer to read.
Yes, quite.
I don't have a big argument about this. I'm just saying, I was one of you people, so I'm familiar with both sides of this, because I was absolutely one of you people. I was as snarky and sarcastic as anyone could possibly be. Then I read them, and I understand, and I get it, and I feel kind of stupid for missing out for so long out of kind of willful, I don't want to know what everyone else is.
You're like Miss Matty in Cranford.
I thought that Harry Potter was Oasis or Coldplay, and that's why I hated it. It's not. It's
the
Beatles.
I don't think it's any of those
things.
I'm just immensely bored by the idea of it.
So do we think Harry Potter was a good or a bad thing for the 1810s?
Remarkably ahead of its time.
Remarkably had no impact on the 1810s.
Oh no, well, you know, you always get these kind of make something popular by just adding a bit of genre to it. So like you have Pride and Prejudice with zombies.
Oh, that's bullshit.
But you could have a Pride and Prejudice with wizards.
Just write a fucking book. Want to have an idea and write a book. Jesus.
So, I guess the point is, would we like to have been alive during the 1810s?
Well, it would depend who we were.
Yes.
That's a very good point.
If you had money, it would have been a very nice
if you were, if you
were
one of the moneyed gentry.
If I was
but
Mr.
If you were
Darcy,
a woman,
I could have
probably,
taken it quite well.
If you were a woman and rich, you would probably have been bored out of your mind for most of the time. You
wouldn't have known any different.
No, but, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing. You'd still have been incredibly bored.
If you're one of the 98% of the population who were, you know, not moneyed and rich and educated.
Well, then you would have been incredibly bored but very hard worked, and you would have died earlier, so the less bored.
Yeah, so you would have had a very low level of existence, but, you know...
But,
probably,
you might have
but it would
happy.
Have been
you could necessarily. You could have been happy, yes.
You could
have
been
you
happy,
been
you had a good, honest toy, you wouldn't have been watching Big Brother.
You could be
happy
as
happy.
A rich person in that time, but you would have had to be fairly shallow to have been entirely happy, I think.
I don't know. I mean, what?
Because Jane Austen had to write those books because she was so monumentally bored and hated everybody around her.
Well, at least she had the opportunity to write the books and publish the books.
Yes, but she was a pioneer.
Mm. Yeah, she just had that opportunity.
She
made
just
that opportunity, you know what I mean?
But yeah, back 100 years, she probably wouldn't have even had that chance. So.
No, that's true. That's true. So
I think it would have been wicked. 8 and 10s, man.
Could
wear breeches.
Contact lenses didn't exist, so I think it would have been miserable.
Men's costumes
sabers.
Was very good
yes.
in that time.
Men
you
knew how to
militia?
Dress.
Men knew
didn't
how to dress.
Yeah.
What
Red's
men
coat.
Nowadays don't realise is that if they will dress like that now.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
See, Neil wears his tank tops, but if only he dressed like Mr. Darcy.
I've got breeches on underneath.
He had breeches and a waistcoat.
I think you say that, but maybe behind closed doors, but if you were walking down...
I think what you don't realise is if the men dressed like that today, they'd be beaten within an inch of their lives
no,
by other
like
men.
No, if they all dressed like that,
you'd
that was how all men dressed.
You've got to wear a hat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to wear a
topper. I do miss the days of hats. I'm doing my best to bring them back, but it's a lonely, lonely mission.
Oh, well, you didn't have to wear very high collars, which you couldn't really put on your head very well.
Mm.
So, 1810, better than the 1800s, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Full of incident and excitement and great time for literature and art and, you know, intellectual movement. I'd say it sounded like
and
a
the war's kind of finished, didn't they?
Yeah.
I suppose once the Napoleon Wars were over,
but, you know,
and we finally
France
proved once and for all we were better than France.
Oh, we forgot the 1812 overture.
Oh, and the 1812 overture.
Yeah.
Bum. But that wasn't actually written in 1812, though.
No, was it not?
It was written about 1812.
Well, that's good enough.
Right, what happened in 1812 that they had?
Napoleonic attack on
Russia. Last Great Time War.
Oh.
Daleks destroyed Gallifrey.
Everyone says it's cannons. Actually, it's Daleks exterminating people.
Right.
Dun, exterminate.
Okay, so I'd give. Yeah, I think it sounds like awesome. I'm clearly there's very little I know about it, but I'm not letting that stop me. I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go 8.
8 out of 10 for the 1810s.
I'm going to say 7 because I would have to wear horrible glasses and be very unattractive all the time. So I couldn't give it 8.
I would give it 7 as well because of if you're a woman, it was a bit rubbish, and if you're poor, it's probably really, really crap.
So it's 7 from the feminists here.
Well, I think in the spirit of the times, what the blokes say.
So that's 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
1810s.
Good.
It's official. So for the final decade in our
decade marathon,
we've picked the one other one that's relevant or interesting to anyone of all of them.
We're talking about the '80s. We're not talking about the '80s. Don't get too excited.
No, we're not going to talk about the '80s.
Although you know, Visage.
We could talk about the 1780s.
No.
No.
We don't know anything about.
I think we've kind of run that one into the ground. We're talking about a decade we know nothing about.
But without even the aid of Wikipedia. Imagine that. What would we possibly say?
Can we carry on?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the 1990s.
The 1990s.
Now that was a decade.
They sound fun. Just the name has a certain ring about it.
Easy,
insouciant charm, you know?
And nines are a magic number.
They are.
Because three is...
But
three is a magic number, but 3 times 3... Nine is
just
super magic.
Elementary magic, though.
Sorry, I haven't read any Harry Potter.
Well, if you hadn't, you'd understand. So the 1990s, I don't know, were they alright?
They started off a bit rubbish.
Well, everybody sat down to Jane, didn't they?
That's what happened. The band, not him.
Most of the 1990s.
That was pretty much the 90s, just sitting down,
yeah,
chilling out. But everyone wore those kind of, you know, they're kind of corduroy things with hoods.
Yeah.
And stripes and really loud colours.
For some reason,
tops,
I didn't feel this at all on the last two discussions, but suddenly I'm feeling this has turned into I Love 1994, you know?
Well, it's probably
just
understandable you didn't feel that in the other discussion, because 1994 wasn't in the 2000s or the
2010s. It feels like we're just going to reel off a bunch of stuff that happened and go, oh, yeah.
Do you remember when people
were
friends? Do you remember D-Light? Groove was in.
That was crunchy.
Really?
I used to be one of my jukebox classics. Fool's Gold, Stone Roses.
Fool's Gold?
Yeah.
You're a fool.
Yeah.
Stone Roses.
D-Light.
She's a waterfall if you're going to do the Stone Roses.
No, that's rubbish.
If we're talking about the 1990s,
which we are.
Anyway, the Stone Roses were like started in 1989 or whatever.
Well,
strictly speaking,
I was just diverging into what my jukebox sort of my typical
tune. No, go on, what's your third jukebox tune?
I can't remember, to be honest. I did once clear an entire bar with Breathe by the Prodigy. It was the upstairs bar at the Stromness Hotel, which had a Wallace Arnold coach tour in at the time.
Almost like you were doing that to be, you know, to be noticed.
No, I was just really thoughtless, just really incredibly thoughtless, and had no sense of where I was or anyone else.
We used to play this game where we go into pubs and we put on a jukebox the longest, dullest song, and then just leave the pub. Love Is the Law by the Seahorses, just to...
Tie it into
our previous.
That's just anything by the Seahorses just seems like an inhuman.
The
everything
by the Seahorses.
But talking about music, Britpop.
Yes,
no,
this is 1990s.
Yeah.
Fantastic for music.
Oh, I hated Britpop
so much. Yeah,
it
Blur.
I hated Blur.
Yeah, Radiohead.
I hated Radiohead at the time. I came to like them, but I just, you know, well, they weren't Britpop.
They were never Britpop. I saw them in 1992.
That's why I didn't hate
them.
There were
10 people watching, and they were in no way Britpop.
Yeah, but they were on Jules Holland's Britbeat Now.
Britpop.
Yeah, a decade
summer.
Later.
Yeah, that was 1995. That was
exactly.
That was the defining document of the...
When you talked about the greatest albums of 1995, which was the height of Britpop, Ben's was always in there.
It was not Britpop.
No,
Britpop was a fabrication. There was no such thing as Britpop.
No, I know. But the musical movement, Radiohead for where we were in Oxford, it was a very exciting time to be, you know, kind of a teenager.
It wasn't
to be interviewed. It was.
Yeah.
Just because you were grumpy and went off listening to Wu-Tang Clan
didn't like
in the bedroom or something.
Music. Well, I was,
but
yeah, because it was good.
I think, James, don't forget Neil's a couple of years older.
And he has no musical taste. Yes, you're right, I should remember.
I don't like fucking the Boo Radleys. No, you're right.
You don't like the Boo Radleys? No, there was some cracking Boo Radleys tunes.
They were a bit of a joke.
I don't like Cast. I don't like Ride. I don't
Ride? Good Oxford band. Good solid Oxford band.
I think what we're discovering here is what we've actually known for years, which is that we just like different sorts of music, fundamentally.
Also, because I'm massively older, most of those bands were sort of late 90s to mid 90s.
They were early 90s.
And they
Cast, they came out of the last.
By the people that I hung around with, and when I was at university, those sorts of bands were a bit of a joke.
Because before that, Blur,
they were
Mudhoney and grunge.
Well, that was it. You had your grunge.
She's lumped Chumbawamba
in
with.
No, that's fair enough. There was some awful. I mean, Oasis. They were one of the big three. I can't stand
them.
Shit.
I saw Oasis. Let's see. Now that was in '93. They supported the BMX Bandits. I think we're from Glasgow, but I can't be sure. And the only thing I remember was some drunken twat on the stage, you know, warbling into the microphone about I Am a Walrus. And that's literally all I remember. And it was one of the worst things I've ever heard. And then it was
so
only
they were
like
no BMX
a couple
bandits,
of years later
that
I realised that that was Oasis, that had been a tour that they had been on.
And they didn't get any better.
And they never got any better.
But this is what I'm talking about, you know, the Harry Potter thing. It's like, you couldn't go anywhere in that year without someone putting the entire of...
but I get it.
Story more in glory on the jukebox.
I get it in this
and
case, and I hated Oasis because of their ubiquity, but mostly because they were so shit. And it was their shitness combined with their ubiquity that I found so offensive.
Mm.
Which was basically what blighted...
But
for me was the
in
a
way, worse
music.
Than that was the people who just wanted to be Oasis and didn't even.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, your Embrace or your.
I just lost track of it,
style.
You know, to be honest.
Menswear.
Menswear wanted to be.
That's the first time anyone's uttered the word menswear in that context.
Outside of, you know, department.
In the last 10 years, I can guarantee it.
But, I mean, on the plus side, if we're not talking about a Brit problem, I mean, Pulp had. The funny lyrics. Blur had some really catchy tunes. We should be talking about those rather than wasting
that's
our
true.
Breath on the gallop.
So you like
as
Pulp?
After
to be honest.
After that era had passed a bit,
fantastic.
And they stopped being a bit, and I stopped sort of having this. I hate this shit music that's everywhere.
Mm.
This manufactured Brit pop nonsense. I came to really like Blur. I thought Blur were a really good band.
Yeah,
that's
very
good
band.
Yes.
I came to really like Pulp. I could appreciate their songwriting. I thought they were really
Pulp
interesting.
Pulp started off, they were a Sheffield band, and they started off in the very, very late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah,
they weren't
late 70s.
Band
no, but that's the point. No one was.
Time.
It was such a bullshit
no,
thing.
But they
yeah,
were,
but
they
just
were
because...
full of idiosyncrasy.
I mean, the thing you have to remember, yeah, it was kind of crappy marketing bullshit, but it meant that bands that weren't, like, Kylie Minogue or latterly people from X Factor were getting to number one in the charts.
That's true. I mean, it seems almost remarkable now, but
yeah.
And that was exciting back then.
It wasn't exciting. I hated
it
all.
No, it wasn't. The time when Radiohead's Street Spirit Fade Out got to number 7 in the charts, I was absolutely stoked. You know?
He's so sweet, isn't he?
I was, because, you know, they're a band that, you know, they're an Oxford band. They're a band that I'd like back in the day. And here they were. They were on Top of the Pops. They were on the Smash Hit.
I know exactly what
you
mean, but for me, it was the time that Mos Def with Ms. Fat Booty got on the Ozone. I was just amazed. I couldn't believe he was on the Ozone.
Well, for me, it's when
I've
you saw anything from the Stone Roses and the Charlatans and the Inspiral Carpets and the Farm and all those. Those were the people that were really, really exciting when I was.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the good thing about
that's
well, the end
music.
Of the 90s was pretty crappy musically, but the start of it, you had the kind of, you had the little indie bands that, you had your little cliques and you'd heard of them and, you know, they weren't mainstream, but you loved them with a passion.
Mm.
And
did.
Then, no, you liked the Wonder Stuff, didn't you?
I did like the Wonder Stuff, that was one of the first bands I ever liked.
Yeah. Manic Street Preachers, you liked
me, my dad, my dear, my dad, my brother,
God, every time I went to a festival, I ended up lying in a field, and the Manic Street Preachers would go on the stage. I couldn't get away from them.
Yeah, I like them.
The first couple of albums are pretty good.
Yeah.
But then you got it, so it kind of it became mainstream. And if you'd been into the scene beforehand, it was all really, and you had grunge going on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So the first half of the '90s, you had so much good music and stuff.
Better than the latter.
Well, it's pretty tragic, but all the bands I like these days, I think, you know, the stuff I buy, 80% of it comes from people I got into buying 1996, you know.
Well, that's
it's like,
just, I mean, that's just, obviously that's going to happen, that's what happens to everyone.
That's just getting older.
I think it was a very exciting time to be
I think, you know, if you're going to have your musical taste set by a period, I think that was a pretty damn good period.
I'd just like to state
by.
For the record that I do think it was an amazing time for music, and most of my favourite music came from that time. It was just not what we're talking about. It was, you know, your Portishead or your DJ Shadows or your Wu-Tang Clan
or your
Tricky. Exactly.
Well, I would like to put a mention in for the Jesus and Mary Chain and for Judy and Coke.
I'd like to give a shout out to
and you know, for people that tons and tons and tons of people thought they were fantastic and they were really, really popular, but nobody sort of really remembers that because they're not blur.
Die Keeps the Flame.
Yeah.
It keeps the flame alive for Jesus and Julian
Chain. Come on. I tell you, it's like a melancholy Beach Boy.
Yes, I really must investigate that because that sounds kind of awesome.
Okay, so the 90s rock musically, I think you can say that.
Mm.
I'd go on with that, even though I hated
absolutely.
What was popular at the time. I do think it was a great time.
Musically, 1990s, I would give, you know, 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Mm.
Is that just because it was like your decade?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But films as well.
Yeah, it was a great time for cinema, actually.
Matrix, 1990s.
The Matrix feels like a 2000s thing.
99,
yeah.
In fact,
1990. You know, we were talking about
Bill and
Ted's Bogus
Journey.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey,
1993, I think.
You had your Pulp Fiction, you had your Clerks, you had a lot of sort of Spike Lee movies.
Weekend of Bernie's has to be an 80s
that's
film.
If it was 1990.
No, that's the
80s. I'm going to clarify.
Spiritually, even if it came out in 1990, it's still an 80s film.
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Oh, you're right. 1990s were great because of Weekend at Bernie's 2.
I think that was actually like a couple of years ago.
When was Groundhog Day? Was that 90s or
80s?
That's
90s, I think,
yeah.
That's a classic.
I mean,
all through the 90s.
Like Groundhog Day, you can watch the film again and again, and it's still funny.
Yeah.
It's masterful. No, it was a very exciting time for kind of independent cinema, I guess.
Well, it did burst out a bit, didn't it? The 80s was pretty much all blockbusters. In fact,
the
2000s
was
pretty much
been
all blockbusters as well.
I guess so.
90s was kind of... 90s, musically and filmically. Filmically? Cinematically?
yeah, I'll give you that, yeah.
It's kind of been a creative flip in between, you know, kind of studio morasses.
No, sorry, it was 1989.
Nah! In your face,
I first saw it.
I'd say Weekend at Bernie's is about the most 80s film ever made.
Yeah,
it wasn't personally directed by James.
Has it got Andrew McCarthy?
Of course it's got
Andrew. It's an 80s film.
It's an 80s film by definition.
There's your rule of thumb right there.
It didn't have that comedy last bit, but like Mannequin.
Did he ever
tell
work
you what,
in the 1990s?
We're saying that the
no,
1990s were an amazingly fertile time in music and in cinema.
Yep.
So a creatively great time. There is, of course, another medium in which the 90s are a byword.
See where you're going.
For the absolute nadir and almost the entire dying out of a medium.
And I think Die and Debbie are going to have a lot
shit
to say about this.
We don't need to dwell on it. We'll just acknowledge, for a lot of our audience who do know about that sort of thing, the 90s were not a great time for comic books.
Oh,
yeah, but you say that. Do you think you bought more comics
are you
than
arguing?
90s or 20
minutes? I bought a lot of comics and I had a paper round a lot of disposable income. It was a terrible time. I just wanted to touch on that.
At the time.
I'm not sure I did.
Did you not? Bought it out of some kind of weird
hoarding collecting? No, I loved sort of the, you know, I fell in love with the characters and the world off the
Alan
strength
Davis's
of the
Excalibur?
Stories that came out. Was that 90s?
I think it started in the 80s, but I think his return to it was in the 90s.
Yeah, you're probably right. No, I mean, there was good stuff, certainly, but there was also a lot of crap, and unfortunately I bought a lot of crap, and so did a lot of other people, and then they stopped, and it all kind of went wrong. It's not the time that anyone looks back on now as a golden era, but maybe in a couple of years they will again. Maybe
TV-wise as well, it wasn't great.
Mediocre sitcoms. There were loads of them in the 90s.
There were.
Absolutely.
It feels
Nelson's Column.
Yes, 2.4 Children, An Actor's Life for Me, which is... quite good. It's so haunt me.
So haunt
oh,
me.
Oh, so haunt me.
I went
my
to see that being recorded.
Goodness. Because you were such a big
May
fan.
May to December. Well, I was, actually.
Many Fools and Horses. I'm just saying.
No, that started in the 80s.
Yeah,
that
but carried
really
on in the
90s.
Really
shouldn't have.
Paul Mendelssohn era, wasn't it? Really.
It was.
Yeah. The Piglet Files.
What?
Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Mulberry.
Oh, no, don't you just Mulberry. That could be the end of our
just
marriage.
Die,
this.
Do you
we've
remember Mulberry? Oh, my
Mulberry.
God. James, explain the high concept
of Mulberry.
Please explain the high concept of Mulberry.
Howman, is it?
Yes, from Brushstrokes.
From the
brush
guy who was the painter from
Brushstrokes. From the GIF adverts.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
Babes in the Wood with the...
oh, God.
Cockney's
yes.
Ben Alton.
Cheeky Cockney.
Samantha
ass.
Jimmy. He
Monkey.
Was Death's son. He went to live with an old lady who he had to kill because he was Death's son.
He didn't have to kill
well, he didn't
her.
Have to, he had to guide her soul. She was going to die and he was going to make her die.
He was
that
the
kind
son
of killing.
Of Death and...
Spring?
I think it was midwinter or something.
Midwinter,
yeah.
Oh, this is the worst idea I've ever heard.
This was a BBC One sitcom.
Oh,
no,
it
wasn't.
Like
no,
it
was BBC.
What?
It was definitely BBC.
I suppose Carl Howman.
A BBC One
Tea
Time sitcom about the son of Death and Winter.
I've never
played
even
by Carl Howman.
Did I block it out?
It
in
didn't
some sort of
really
horror.
Take on
I think
and,
everyone's. Well, everyone
I
took good blue pills.
What?
So there was the old lady, there was Death's son, and then there was the comedy cleaners. So yeah, I think the 1990s rule. I mean, talked about.
Oh, all. Birds of a Feather as well.
Oh.
That, wasn't that on for about 20,000 years?
No,
and
that
was never
ever
good.
I'm sure that started in the 80s,
wine.
But yeah, it was pretty much 90s. Last of the Wine.
It just dragged on through the 90s. The thing
this life,
is,
though. This
does,
life.
Yes,
yes.
That's kind
and
of a shining high point amongst
Twin
the crap,
Peaks.
Wasn't it?
Twin Peaks!
Never got into Twin Peaks.
Oh, yes.
That
yeah,
was the only thing that was good in my life for quite a long time.
Press Gang.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you can't mention Press Gang in the same sentence as Twin Peaks.
Oh,
you can. Press
you're
Gang
right,
is
that
brilliant.
Is a bit bad.
We
rewatched
it a few more years ago. It's superb.
Press Gang and Twin Peaks are my two... Are my Twin Peaks,
I'd say,
as you were
still.
Jumping
still.
Apart
is,
was an excellent... Sorry.
It was okay.
It was brilliant.
I
loved
it
at the time.
I loved it at the time. I only just now watched
the
second series, and it's...
The second series wasn't quite as good.
No.
First series was fantastic.
It was good. It was very melancholy and beautifully orchestrated.
Yes.
And yeah.
Seinfeld,
but we never really sort of learned about that until the noughties, I'd say.
No, we did.
Well, not really.
I used to watch Seinfeld, but I thought it was crap.
Yeah.
Frasier. Late.
Friends. Yeah.
Oh, no. No. I feel about Friends as Di does about Harry Potter. I just... It's rubbish. It was never good.
It was good.
Well,
it was
like,
very
no.
sort of tightly scripted for the first
it
few
was very
years.
Good. It became not very good.
Although, do you remember Partners by the same people?
No,
and no one except you.
That's not
does.
Even a thing, is
even
it?
The people who
you
were in it
don't
remember that.
Girl,
and yet you would tape it every week faithfully and watch it.
And,
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that was a high point.
I'm thinking about Partners now, aren't we? So it's got me distracted.
Were you going to say Herman's Head by any chance?
No, Dream On.
Dream
that's
On,
I
knew
say.
That was what you meant. Yes, exactly. Dream
well,
On.
Why did you say it instead of Herman's Head?
I got them mixed up in my own head.
Nilo's Head.
Similar kind of, I'm pretty sure they had 50% the same cast. They were. It was
I don't think I ever saw Herman's Head.
You never saw Herman's Head?
That was
kind
of like the Numbskulls, wasn't it?
Yeah, Numbskulls played as a sitcom.
Anyway, I think we're getting kind of down there.
Can I just mention one more thing about the 90s? I think the 90s is where James Bond really should have given up.
GoldenEye?
No.
The
90s
was a very
no.
bad time for a couple of things that lasted decades before and have come back since. James Bond, Doctor Who. Dropped off the map completely in the 90s.
But then, I really liked GoldenEye, I really liked Sylvester McCoy.
I really liked Timothy Dalton.
I liked him too. I thought I was the only one. He's
Timothy Dalton in License to Kill. I was thinking just yesterday. That was Casino Royale, just years ahead of its time.
Mm.
It was, you know, everything that everyone applauded about Casino Royale, but just too soon, people weren't ready for it.
You know, the one where the guy falls
straight.
Into the.
That's the thing.
Yeah, played it very straight.
He made it very straight.
Played
it was a very serious actor.
He was crying. His friends were getting killed. He actually cared about.
Is
stuff.
That when he had to slip
he was
down
a rogue
the
agent
hill
on the
in
cello
the
case.
Cello case?
No, that was the Living Daylights, which
no, was
basically
a
Roger Moore film with Timothy Dalton.
Stupid Bob that kept.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a bad film. But I thought License to Kill actually was a really interesting film, and it was a shame that they sacked him after that. Yeah, that was the '80s, wasn't it?
I think it was, wasn't it late night?
I'd put License to Kill right at the start of the '90s.
I think it was early
'90s. Living Daylights.
The early '90s, I don't count as the '90s, though, to be honest.
It's 1990.
Check your calendar, fool.
Okay, technically, yes, they are.
Things don't just start and finish on the turn of a decade, do they? You know, there is...
Well, exactly. So I think kind of 1993...
Sometimes people make it handy for you by flying a plane into some skyscrapers.
And that was even then, that was almost 2 years into the decade.
Well,
September 2001.
I suppose so, yeah.
But as
so
a,
you were
as
talking almost a fifth of it.
As people, developing people, I think the '90s were very important.
Mm. I developed...
Well, I think I stopped developing in the '90s, so...
You're still there.
My testicles dropped.
Oh,
I started to grow hair on my chest.
You get
to
a certain age,
and
you do
it.
Stop, because you haven't got time anymore.
Well, I thought the '90s were brilliant. I had a great time at school, I had a great time at university, and I met James, of course.
Hated school, liked university.
And I think, you know, let's not forget Mario Kart on the SNES.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you're right, '90s win. Mario Kart on SNES, that's all you needed to say.
So,
Street Fighter on SNES.
Voting for the '90s.
Oh.
It's got to be a 9. It's a
1990s.
Mm.
It's
a 9.
It's a good decade.
I just don't think there were any 1810s.
It's a vintage.
I'm going for 9 as well.
I'm not going for 9, I'm going for 8. I think it was a bit of a mixed bag. I think you people have got your rosy coloured spectacles. I think we all sound like our folks talking about the 60s right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I think that's
the
reason. The 60s were a great decade.
That's
the 70s
exactly.
And the 80s were crap. The 90s, it's like the Star Wars. Every third decade is good. Apart from actually the 30s.
So we have to wait another 20 years before anything good happens.
Yeah, kind of do. Yeah.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Drink up.
On that note,
10 years.
Happy New Year,
everyone.
Yes,
another 20 years of shit.
Yeah.
And here's to all our loyal Unified Review Theory listeners.
If you made it this far, then I'm going to buy you a drink personally.
Do you think they both tuned in today?
I don't think that would cost you that much.
I think one of them's visiting their mum.
Yes,
it's not live, Debbie. So.
That's a good night from us, and it's good night from our wives who are belittling the entire enterprise.
Bye.
I think it's little enough already. It doesn't mean any.
Please don't belittle it. It's hardly there as it is.
I give your mama 5 out of 10.